Welcome to Central Baptist Church's Sermon Podcast. This program features the preaching and teaching of Corey Ramirez, the pastor of Central Baptist Church of Little Rock, Arkansas. In God's Word, you will find the encouragement needed for today. And now, here is Pastor Ramirez.
You know, I'll start with a statement. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, but let me share this statement with you. Have you found it difficult at times to be a Christian? Have you found it difficult at times to be a Christian? Isn't it hard sometimes to... when I say hard, we love God. We know we love God, and we know God's there. But it's difficult some days to be a Christian. It's difficult sometimes to do what's right. It's difficult to always have the right attitude and have the right mind. And this morning, this message, I believe, is for each and every one of us. It's a message that Peter, right here, he put this, the Holy Spirit led him to put this in the letter at this moment for a reason. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, and the title of this is A Sincere Christian, A Genuine Christian, A Real Christian. Because the believers that Peter was writing to were going through some difficult times. There was persecution that was picking up. They were having some troubles. They were having hardships. It wasn't easy to be a Christian during this time. I don't know if there's ever an easy time to be a Christian. There's always some opposition. There's always trials. Whether it's trials because we're Christians or if it's just trials for living in a sinful and troubled world, we're going to have those. So Peter here, as he's writing to the people, the believers, and we can learn from it today as he's writing, I think he understood their circumstance. He knew they were troubled. He knew they were having some hardships. And we find him here encouraging them to make certain that they were living right, that they were conducting themselves correctly, that they were doing what they were supposed to, no matter what was happening around them. You know, there are a lot of outside pressures in this world. There are a lot of things that are going to try to direct us one way or another, or try to influence us one way or another. And as Christians, we want to make sure that we are living the way God would want us to live. And that's the challenge here that Peter gives to them. And it's not in a bold. He's not boldly challenging them as much as he's encouraging them and showing them this is what you need to do and this is what you don't need to do. So let's look at this here this morning. We're talking about a sincere Christian. I have three thoughts I want to share with you. A sincere Christian is someone who separates from the world. Okay, separates from the world. You know, when we have difficulties, this can be hard. And as we'll see here in a minute, the what we call the sins he's dealing with are all sins that are related to what I would call being offended, being troubled, being hurt in some way, having a hardship that we can take things personal. And so these are sins that he's saying, beware of these when you're going through a difficult time, because these are sins that can creep into your life and you want to make sure you keep them at bay. And then he talks about the fact that we should be searching God's Word. We should be maturing and growing even as we go through these trials and troubles. We should be growing in God's grace and growing close to the Lord. And that's the key there that helps us as we go through trials. And then finally, he talks about being satisfied with God's grace. Once we've tasted it, we have it. We know it. There's nothing better out there but God's grace. So let's get into this here this morning. A sincere Christian is someone who separates from the world. Let's look at verse 1 here. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Now he says here, lay these aside. Now that word laying aside refers to something you set aside or you put aside. I want to start with this here. You have choices in life. Okay, you have to make some decisions. Even as a Christian, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to choose that you're going to set aside some things, or you're not going to allow some things into your life or into your thoughts maybe or your mind. You're going to say, no, I'm going to keep those at bay. And those are decisions that you have to make. I'll call them deliberate decisions. You're going to have to make some deliberate decisions as you live for God and you walk with the Lord. And so he says here, you need to separate from these things or be separate from this. You know, as far as setting aside something, it's like taking off dirty clothes. That's the way I'll put it. Taking off dirty clothes. I hear my mom and dad say this all the time. You know, you can't wear that. It had nothing to do with the modesty. It had everything to do with filthy, you know. Our jeans or our shirt or our pants, you know, you can't wear that if you're going here. Especially when we're getting ready to go to church when we were younger. No, you gotta change. You can't wear that. You know, that's the thought here. There's some things we should set aside. We can't have that in our life. And we need to set those aside. And so let me just get into this real quick and look at these that Peter mentions here. And as we get into this, I want to point out to you, when you look at these aren't all the sins in the world. These are just, I believe, Peter's hitting these as being sins that are easy to creep into our life, when we're going through some difficulties, or when someone has maybe done something or said something to us. These are sins that can easily come into our heart, and we got to be careful of. And notice the first one he said is malice. Malice. Now that word refers to what we'd call evil conduct, but not just evil conduct. It's evil conduct that's really due to a grudge. Malice. Okay? Something has happened into your life. You don't like it. You're upset about it. You hold on to it. Malice is when you act upon that. And you're almost kind of like vengeance a little bit. It's actually the act of the vengeance part, really acting upon it. And this could be one act. It can happen one time. People do that. You know, you get upset, so I'm going to pay him back. And then they pay him back when they get an opportunity. Or it can be an attitude, too. It can be an attitude where someone has just a poor attitude because they're upset at someone or something. And he says, don't have that in your heart. Don't let that in. You keep malice away. You know, if you want to have a strong relationship, of course, with God, you can't have it. But all your other relationships, you can't have malice there. They got to remove that and not let it in your heart. Next one is guile. Well, real quick, but instead of malice, let me give you what we should be as Christians. Instead of malice, there should be what I call kindness and forgiveness. And being willing to forgive somebody, and kindness towards those, even those who may have done something against us. The next one is guile. The word guile here, that refers to deceit. A bait is actually the word. A bait or a snare. In other words, as Christians, we've got to set aside anything that's deceptive. Anything at all that's deceptive. Now, this can apply to our business dealings. We've got to be honest in our business dealings, but it also applies to what we'd call our relationships in all areas. You know, as a Christian, we don't want to be deceptive in any area. You know, when we are going through difficult times, we've got to be careful of acting like the world. Okay, we can't return something. If someone deceives us, we can't return the favor and say, well, you know what, I'm going to deceive them. Or, you know, we got to be above that and be honest in all of our dealings. So for a Christian, we got to be sincere and we got to be honest. The next one says hypocrisies. Now, a hypocrisy is a pretense. It's a show. It's to present yourself as one thing, but to actually be something else. Or you say you're going to do something and not do it purposely. Not because you made a mistake or you couldn't do it, but you had planned this all along. Basically, it's a false presentation. And we talk about hypocrisy. Often it's tied in with religion. Because we'll say, you know, so-and-so said that they do this, and then you turn around and you see them doing something else. You talk about it in politics too, right? A politician will say this and then turn around and do exactly opposite of what they just said. That's what hypocrisy is. And that's hypocrisy. You know, as a believer, we've got to be honest at all times and trustworthy. I think a believer should be trustworthy, right? Now, we sign contracts, but you know, as a believer, we should say, you know what, even if I don't have to sign it, you're still going to get this because that's the right thing to do. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to do what's right. And I think as a Christian, that's a testimony that we need to maintain even when times are tough, right? Even when it's difficult. Because God wants us to be right with Him at all times. And then we find envies. Now, envy is a feeling of ill will towards someone else due to what we call their prosperity. We envy someone due to maybe a blessing they have or a gift they have or something that's taken place in their life. There are a lot of things we can envy. We can envy materials. Okay, you can envy someone's house. You can envy someone's vehicle. I remember, and I had a pastor that helped, you know, years back that I trained under when I was a young pastor. And I remember we were out on visitation once and we were driving along and there's a nice brand new truck that was coming. And I remember he said, I'm not going to envy that truck. I want to pray that man gets a new truck and he gives me that truck. And he was just joking, of course. But, you know, and we had the conversation. He said, you know, unfortunately, we do that sometimes and we are envying. And we got to be careful of envying what someone else has. And there are so many things that we can envy. And let me caution you on this, okay? Social media is an area where this happens a lot. You can envy someone else's life. And you may be surprised that their life isn't what they portray it as, all right? That's just the pictures they're putting up. And you may think, wow, how come they're going on vacation every week and I'm stuck here? How come everything seems to be working out for them, but it's not working out for me? Be careful of that. That's where you can allow that to come into your heart and life, and it can turn into those envies. We've got to put those aside, all right? We don't envy those things. You know, something with social media is be careful. If you can't handle it, just get off it. That's just my encouragement to you. If you can't handle that, just don't put yourself in that position to have to deal with it. But if you can handle it, that's fine. Just be careful of envies. As a believer, instead, you know what? We should be grateful that God has blessed anybody. Right? We shouldn't envy someone else's gift. We should be grateful God's given them that gift and pray for them. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will allow that they'll use that for God's glory and that God will continue to bless them. that God will continue to give him blessings, and we should pray for him. I have found in my life, you know, I think all of us can envy. By the way, every single one of these sins, as a Christian, we can commit these, okay? We can commit these because we have the flesh. And if we allow the flesh to dictate our life, we can commit these sins. So if you ever run into envy, the best, I think, remedy for envy is prayer. Pray for someone and thank God for the blessing that God has given somebody else. And then thank God for your blessings. And God will encourage. So we have envy. Here's the next one. Evil speakings. The word means to speak down. It's referring to speak down. In other words, to speak against somebody. Evil speakings. Now this could be backbiting, gossiping, slander, hateful criticism, crude or even rude comments towards somebody. That's evil speakings towards someone. You see, keep in mind, the believers were going through a difficult time. You know, our words can get us in trouble when we're going through difficult times. It's easy just to react and to say something. And then we got to go to God in prayer and ask forgiveness and then find the person we spoke against and ask forgiveness. So we need to be careful of our words and the evil speakings here. Instead of speaking in the flesh, slow down and let the Spirit guide and direct your words. Let the Spirit give you the words to say so you're not saying something incorrect or wrong. Even if you have to rebuke somebody, pray that you do it in the right way. That God will give you the right words to say so it's said correctly. You know, evil speakings is a destructive sin, is what it is. Because here's two things. Once it's out there, you can't bring it back. Now, you can ask forgiveness of it. Okay, you can ask forgiveness of something you say. But once it's said, it's been said. It's out there. And so it can hurt and it can harm. And it can, you know, hurt relationships. There are relationships that have been broken because of evil words. Friendships have been lost because of words. So just be careful. And that's what Peter's warning us here. He's saying, be careful of your words when you're going through difficult times. I believe the caution here is when we're going through difficulties, it is so easy just to be fleshly. It's so easy just to act in the flesh and let our words be said out of the flesh instead of out of the Spirit's leading. So we have a list here, and let me caution you on this. I want to wrap up this point here. We need to be separate from the world, okay? We need to separate from these and not allow these sins to be found in our heart and our life. So here's the two cautions. First, these sins can creep into your life. Don't ever believe you can't commit one of these, because we all can. We all have the flesh. So we got to understand. We got to be aware of these. Also, these sins can cling to your life. These are all sins that can cling to your life. What I mean by that, these are all sins that are easy to hold on to. They are. They're sins that you can have, and they can be in the heart. Nobody else can even see them. Now, they may see them in your attitude sometimes, but they're sins that you can hold on to, cling to your life, and just drag your life down. Now, you're not going to lose your salvation, because that's already secure, but your relationship with God will be hindered if you hold on to these. And so we want to make sure that these sins are not there. So these sins are there. We got to get rid of them. As one person put it, there are some things that don't belong in your life. And these are some of those things that don't belong there. So, we have to make some deliberate decisions here. That's what I want to challenge you with here this morning. Make some deliberate decisions on these. First, you need to refrain from those. Don't have any part with these here. If any of this comes into your mind, that's where it begins often. Just say, no, I'm not going to think on those things. No, I'm going to say, no, I don't need to think that way about that person. I don't need to think about this situation. And just remove it instantly. Second, if you find it there, if you find something in your heart, then just remove it. 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you find envy there, then just remove it. You find something else there, just remove it. And then here's the third one. Some of these, if they've been entrenched for a while, if there's someone here who you've been struggling with one of these for a long period of time, you're going to have to root it out. That's the way I'll call it. You have to root this. This is a sin you might have to root out. In other words, you just have to get with God and say, God, I am going to dig this out. Those of you who garden or deal with any garden, you know what rooting out means, right? You have to go out and dig out some of those weeds that just get entrenched in there. And some of them, I tell you what, they got some long roots. You got to dig down and really get them out. And that's what you have to do sometimes. And you can do that by getting with God and saying, God, I'm gonna stop this. God, I don't need this in my life. Will you help me get rid of this? And so I want to encourage each of you just to keep at bay. You see, a sincere Christian is going to separate from the world. All of these are worldly, by the way. This is what we find in the world. This is how the world acts. And this is how the world, I think, will often encourages people to act. You know, hey, if someone done something to you, you pay them back. If someone spoke against you, you speak back against them. So what we find here is we don't want to be this way. We want to be the way God would have us be. Here's my second thought. This leads to the strength here. We need to be searching God's Word. Okay, it says here in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So how do we keep these sins away, or how do we keep them at bay? By being in God's word. That's how we keep them at bay. Because God's word is where we find our strength, our encouragement, our direction. It's our guide for life. And as you read God's word, God is going to work in your heart through the Spirit. That's how God works. So here's some thoughts here on searching God's word. I believe a sincere Christian will search God's word, even during difficult times. You're going to search God's word. You're going to get in God's word. I believe when you're going through difficult times, it's probably when you need to spend more time in God's word. Really just get in God's word and say, I'm going to spend time because I need to find some encouragement here. So here are some thoughts here. You know, a sincere Christian is, first off, going to have a healthy appetite. A sincere Christian is going to have a healthy appetite. Notice he says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk. I have noticed newborn babes have a healthy appetite, right? They want to eat all hours sometimes, middle of the night sometimes. They have a healthy appetite. As Christians, we need to have a healthy appetite for God's word. We should have a desire to read it and to study and just to get to know what God has for us. Not just for the knowledge, all right? Not just so we can say, I know this. But for the direction that God has for us. That's what it's there for. You know the late Billy Sunday, an evangelist, Billy Sunday. Now, he was charismatic, not like in his views necessarily, but as far as preaching, he'd get on the pulpit, he'd run all over the place. I'm not to that extent. But I did read it once about him I thought was interesting. They said that before he was saved, they said he'd never read a book. I mean, he could read, but he hated reading. He was a baseball player before. He'd rather be outside doing anything else. Never read. He didn't like reading. After he was saved, from my understanding, it wasn't like he loved reading as much as he loved the Word of God. They said his Bible, after he passed away, they found his Bible was filled with notes. He would read God's Word every single day. And why is that? He had a hunger for God's Word. He got saved, his life was changed, and there was a desire to know the Word of God, what God had for him. And that's the same desire I think we need. Just to, not like I said, not so we say I have knowledge of this, but so we know the direction that God has for us. We know the direction God's taking the world. We know what's happening because we read the Word and we're in the Word. So newborn babes desire the Word of God. All believers, newborn or even old believers should seek the Word of God. Here's the second one. You know, a sincere Christian should eat healthy food. They should eat healthy food. You know, newborn babes, it says desire the milk. That's referring to a healthy diet that they have. Not candy or chocolate or anything else, but healthy food. As Christians, we should desire the Word of God. Healthy food. You know, newborn babes grow on the milk. And newborn believers or believers in general should grow on the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of things you can read, and I'm not opposed to reading good books because I think there are a lot of good books out there. But don't sacrifice your time in this book, the Bible, because you want to read something else. Make sure you spend time in God's Word. This is where you're going to find your spiritual strength, and this is where you are going to grow. You know, I believe as a Christian, your spiritual growth depends upon your feeding of the Word of God. There's direct correlation there. If you're not in the Word of God, your spiritual growth is going to be stunted, or it's just not going to be strong because you're not in God's Word. So spend time in God's Word. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Now, meditate means to think things over. Memorize verses. Think over God's Word. Think what it has to say, the teachings, and then the application. So read God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. I believe to fight off those sins and other sins that are out there, we're going to have to be strong in God's Word. You're going to have to read it so you know it and you can fight those off. You know what sin does? Sin is destructive. Sin is destructive. And sin will treat your life like a disease treats the body. It's going to destroy it. And if it's there, if these sins are there, you find any of these sins in your heart, if you don't remove these, they're going to destroy you. These sins will end up turning to bitterness. And they'll hinder your life. So these sins have to be removed. And the best way to remove those is obviously seeking God's forgiveness and just removing them. But then replace them with God's Word. Okay, replace them with God's Word. Read the Word of the God and be encouraged by that. You know, one thing about sin I've noticed too, diseases. Let's put it this way. Diseases take away a lot of times the appetite eventually. Right? That's part of the problem because they're destroying the body. You know, sin will do that with your appetite for God's Word. It'll take away your appetite for God's Word. So don't let sin in your heart, because when you have that there, the desire to be in God's Word may be limited because there's sin there. So we remove those, and that way you can eat and you can grow in God's Word. Here's my final thought on this. Sincere Christians, I believe, need to have healthy growth. Notice in the, we're in Peter chapter 2, he says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, he says that you may grow thereby. That's the key there, that you may grow thereby. You know, Peter wanted believers to grow in the Lord and God's Word and by God's grace. He didn't want them just to sit there and flounder. He wants us to grow. You know, as far as babies, now babies are cute. I think babies are cute. I don't know if everyone believes that. I believe that. Babies are cute. But you know, it's unnatural for a baby not to grow. After a while, as cute as they are, we might say, you know, something's wrong if they're not growing. It's unnatural. Well, the same can be applied to a Christian. If we don't grow, that's unnatural. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in His Word. He wants us to grow in maturity so we grow closer to Him. You know, when you think of growth, when you start with infants, infants make no decisions on their own, right? They just demand, I'm hungry, feed me. They don't make any decisions. As they grow, as children grow, they begin to make more decisions. Hopefully good ones, right? Especially when they hit teenage years and older. But as they grow, they make more decisions. They have choices. They have understanding. Isn't that the same for the believer? As we grow, we should be able to make more decisions that are good because we're growing in God's Word. Some of the decisions of the past that we may have struggled with, as we grow, we say, oh, you know, I can deal with that now. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Or, yes, I'm going to do this. You see, we grow in God's Word. We mature, and we grow, and we can make those decisions. Something else about growth. You ever heard that phrase, you know, growing pains? They're growing pains, you know. When it comes to a Christian, there's growing pains too. What I mean by that, there are going to be some areas of growth that we get through trials, through troubles, and through difficulties. We're going to grow in those areas, and we're going to grow closer to God. And those areas are going to be hard, but they're growing pains, and God will draw us closer to Him and will mature and help us as we go forward. But the goal is to grow and to continue growing as we go forward with God. So I want to encourage you, as I finish this second point here, get in God's Word. Okay, get in God's Word. Make sure you're in God's Word. And then stay in God's Word. Stay there. Remain there. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Live by God's Word. And then grow in God's grace. That's what's going to happen. If you do that, you will grow. You're going to grow. So I want to encourage each of you to get in God's Word. Here's my final thought here this morning. And we're going to talk about, well, it's not coming up. It's just frozen on us. That's all right. I'll give it to you. Being satisfied with God's grace. Okay? Being satisfied by God's grace. Let's say here. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says here, if so be ye have tasted, he says, that the Lord is gracious. That the Lord is gracious. Go over with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll see here that God is gracious. And we get a little bit of a passage here where we see God's grace. And it talks about His grace here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says here in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then he says, by grace ye are saved. Now, quickened. That word quickened means to give life and to have life. Quickened. And so the Bible tells us that we're quickened. We're given life. But notice it's by God's grace. That's how we have that life. It's not by merit, what we can do, what we have done, but by God's grace. Let me read that to you again here. He says, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's exalted us through this and put us with Christ. So we are now with Him. Let me give you some thoughts. I'm going to go further here in just a minute, but let me start here with this, on this passage here. You notice it's God's grace. Now grace is what we call unmerited favor. In other words, grace is when you receive something that you don't deserve. And you don't have to pay for it. You owe nothing for it. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift. It's something you get, and it's by grace. This is God's grace. And notice what he's talking about to begin with. He's talking about salvation to start with. You see, God's grace is seen in salvation more than anywhere else. Yeah, we see God's grace in other areas. It's by His grace, the sun comes up every day, all right? It's thank the Lord we have life. But His grace is seen in salvation. And let me just elaborate on this just real quick. Because we all need to understand this. I hope everyone here is saved. But if not, this is what we need to understand. Salvation is from God. Okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say that we loved God. It says God loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See, it was God who initiated salvation. God looked down upon the world and said, you can't do anything about this. You've sinned. And by the way, I think every one of us would have made the same mistake Adam and Eve made. We're sinners. We would do the same thing. They sinned. God says, I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to save your soul. And it's not going to be done in anything you can do because you've already messed it up. It's going to be done by what I can do. And so He sent His Son. And His Son, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. And He went to the cross and He died on your behalf so you could be saved. And this morning, I want to remind you that's God's grace towards us. God has been gracious towards you. None of us deserve salvation. I don't deserve to be saved. If I received what I deserved, that's punishment for my sin. That's what I deserve. But God's grace, it says, I'm going to send a Savior so you can be saved. Now, we must believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. You see, what we find, it's Christ or nothing. Not Christ and something else. It's Christ or nothing, because that's where God's grace is. It's in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross so that way you can be saved, so I can be saved. And I hope and pray you have received Christ as your Savior. It's as simple as understanding your need, which is to be forgiven of your sin, and then understanding you can't do it yourself, and so you seek God's forgiveness and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe in your heart and you shall be saved. And then the Bible tells us here in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're not saved of our works or our abilities. Nobody is saved of that. Nobody has enough works to get to heaven. All of our works are tainted because we're sinners. So even if we had a lot of works, God's not going to accept those. And then our wealth, there's nobody can buy their way to heaven. We're going to be there, all of us, whoever's there in heaven, for the same reason. Because we received Christ as our Savior. And this morning, I hope and pray you're saved, that you have got that settled. If not, that is something that you can settle. And it goes back to God's grace. Verse 7 tells us here that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me just give you some thoughts. The exceeding riches of His grace, the abundance of His grace. You know, when you think of God's grace, first off, there is enough of God's grace to go around. Let me just share that with you. In other words, if someone here is without Christ, you're not sure if you're saved, I can tell you this. You don't have to worry about God not saving you if you come to Him in the right way. Because He is gracious. He's exceedingly rich in His grace. He'll forgive you of your sin if you ask Him to forgive you. He'll bring in His family if you receive Christ as your Savior, but you must make that decision. You have to come to Him. You have to repent of your sin, which is to turn and turn to God and receive Jesus as your Savior. And once that's done, you're forgiven. And you'll know more of God's grace as you grow. You'll know more of God's grace. And some here could probably testify of God's grace in your life and different experiences or different times. Because God is a gracious God. God is a gracious God. And so this morning here, let me just encourage you to settle that in your heart. Make sure you're saved. And Peter reminded them of this. He reminded them, basically he's saying here, notice what he says in verse 3 here. Let's get back to 1 Peter chapter 2. He says here, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's an interesting phrase he says here. If so be that ye have tasted. The implication he's making here is, you've tasted how good God is. See, he's talking to believers, those who are already saved. He's saying, you know how good God is. You're going through some difficulties, right? You're going through some trials. You're going through some hardships. You might be persecuted. There are going to be some days you might not even sure if you want to face the world. You might not even sure if you want to get up and go because it's hard. But he's saying, you know how good God is. You've tasted how good God is. You know how gracious He is. God's not going to forsake you now. God's not going to leave you now. You know this. And that's the encouragement we find in this passage here. Peter's reminding them that God is a good God. He's a gracious God. You know, in Psalm 34:8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You see, God is good to those that put their faith in Him. Just because there's some difficulties doesn't mean God's not good. God is still good and God is still gracious. They knew His saving grace. They'd already grown some in God's grace, so they knew how gracious He was as far as growing in God's grace. But also the experiences they had should encourage them to continue in their growth with God. Here's the thought, really, I think here. Once you experience Christ, and you experience how good God is, did you know there's nothing better in this world? Nothing at all. There's satisfaction in God, because there's nothing better in this world. You go back to the beginning of this chapter. There's no need to go back to those sins. There's no need to that, because we have something better now, and that's God. We've tasted it. We know how good He is. We know how wonderful He is. If He can save your soul for eternity, you can be certain He can take care of you tomorrow. He can help you through the troubles today. See, He is good and He's gracious. And so once you've tasted Him and know Him, then what we find is that we should stay with Him. Here's an example. I'll give you an illustration. It's like a favorite meal. I don't know if any of you are like this. I'll go to a restaurant sometimes and I want to try something different. But if it's a restaurant I like, I'll tend to go back to what I like. You're like, hey, you know, I'm not sure about this, but I know this is good, so I'm going to stick with it. And that's how it is with God. We know He's good. We know He's wonderful. We don't need to go in the world looking for answers. We don't need to go in the world looking for our comfort. We don't need to go in the world for strength. God provides that, and He provides all of it. You know, when I think of newborn babes, because that's what we find here. He says newborn babes. When newborn babes are full, they're satisfied. You ever seen they're satisfied? I heard some people talk about it. They call it a milk coma. I've heard some people call it a milk coma, where you see a baby will eat to the point where they're just stuffed. I mean, their eyes might even be open, but they're just sitting there. I mean, they're just so satisfied. You know, the whole world could be crumbling around them, and they could care less. They're just happy. You lay them down, you can put them anywhere, because they're happy. They've been fed, and they're satisfied. That's how a Christian should be with God, right? We are satisfied with Him. Even the world around us is falling apart. Even if we're not getting what we want right now, even if we're not sure how God's going to work something out, we're satisfied with Him because we know He's going to work it out. We know He's going to take care of it. We're feeding in His Word, and we are just satisfied with God. And like those babies that are just satisfied because they're full, we can be satisfied as well because we're filled with God. So what we need to do is make sure that we are seeking God and that we are seeking God from His Word. You know, discontentment is something that happens to all Christians. And this here is a warning almost to that. Because when we're discontent, those sins, maybe they come in to cause a discontentment. Maybe they come in and the discontentment leads afterwards. I don't know. But they're tied together with these sins, discontentment. You'll find those that have any of these sins, there's discontentment there in their heart and in their life. And when someone is discontent, that means they're not happy with God. Right? We're just not happy with God. And I've been there. Okay? As a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're, you know, opposing God. It doesn't mean that you're rejecting God. It just means you're struggling with what God has permitted, what God's allowed. And so that discontentment can come into our heart because we're not full with God's Word and with who God is. See, the answer to contentment really is found when we yield to God and we feed in His Word. That's when the contentment will come in. You see, Paul made the comment, he had to learn to be content. And we have to learn to be content in our situations. And that learning comes with being with God and yielding to Him. You know, you can be satisfied today with God's grace. You can be satisfied with God if you seek Him. Here's my conclusion. Okay, here's my conclusion. I want to encourage each of you at this time, and I think it's something you should do every once in a while. Make a periodic and thorough search of your heart. Okay, you know, computers, I'm not really good with computers. I know some of you here are. I'm not. I can turn them on, and as long as they work well, I'm good with them. But I start having problems, man, I got to call somebody or get some help. You know, I do know this, though. Computers, they have set up where they can do scans. They'll scan, and they're looking for viruses maybe, or they're scanned to clean things up, and they'll scan. Well, you know what, as Christians, I think we need to do that from time to time with our heart. We need to scan our heart. And we should ask God, God, will you, I'm going to open my heart to you, God. Will you show me if there's any of these sins, if any of these have come into my heart, if any of these have settled, even just a little bit, will you show me so I can remove them? Will you show me so I can just separate from those? And I encourage you to make a scan. Make a scan for what we talked about this morning. Are you separate from the world? Are you keeping those sins at bay? Are you searching God's Word? It may be God may say, you know what, you just need to spend more time with me in prayer and in my Word. But ask God to show you. Scan your heart. It may be that you're not satisfied with God because you're discontent and you're not finding satisfaction with Him. And it may be God is saying, you know what, just trust me with this. I got it. Okay? I got it taken care of. You just hold on. You just wait. I'll work things out. But you got to be satisfied with me. You got to trust in me. And then finally, I guess you can ask Him, God, am I a sincere Christian?
You've been listening to the preaching of Pastor Ramirez of Central Baptist Church of Little Rock, Arkansas. We hope today's message encouraged you. If you would like more information about Pastor Ramirez or Central Baptist Church, please visit our website, centralbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us again for another message from God's Word.